Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and I'm going to be talking about the future trends of the SCR industry and how that's going to impact you from a buying standpoint as well as a currently operating standpoint. So there's really two camps. I know we have a lot of people listening who might not have a property yet and they're learning and educating themselves. We need to prepare you because market shift, economic shift over time, right? So how does that, you know, what worked in the past doesn't necessarily work in the future. And how does that strategy change into what you need today? So that's going to be number one. Then we're going to transition more to, okay, what if I already have short-term rentals? What's the outlook going to be like for me and some of the different markets that are out there? And so that's broken into two parts here today, and let's dive straight into it. So there's been some reports out, including from Airbnb recently, at least from the summer, that ADR is actually up for short-term rentals. All right. Now, I thought it was really interesting for those of you who don't know, ADR means average daily rate. So basically, what are people getting booked at on a nightly rate standpoint? So I thought that was interesting, though, that they specifically said average daily rate was up. And they were like kind of holding this, you know, this memento of the average daily rate is high or going up year over year. And, you know, this is super exciting. That means there's a lot of growth in the industry. Now, I'm not saying there's not growth in the industry, and I'm not saying that, you know, having a higher ADR is better than having a lower ADR. No, I do agree having a higher ADR is definitely better. But let's put it into a little bit of context. If we actually look at revenue, average revenue per property, it is down about 15%. Okay. So ADR is higher, but revenue is down. ADR, which is your average daily rate, times occupancy times 365 is what gets you your total revenue. So if ADR is up year over year, then something else has to be down. And what's the other variable in this equation I just gave you, or this formula? It's occupancy. So occupancy is down about 10%, which can have a huge factor. When you talk about nightly rates, I want you to think of like going to the grocery store and buying milk and eggs and just groceries, right? And bread and all this stuff. What if the grocery store came out and said, hey, to our investors, prices are up. We're, you know, the average price for a carton of eggs or the average price for a gallon of milk is up. You know, we're making more money. What, you know, what are the investors going to go? They're going to be like, cool, but what's the quantity of those that you're actually selling? You know, are you truly up profit wise, or is because of inflation and the increase of, you know, surplus of money into the market, is it just up because of that? You know, we know that's inflation. So ADR actually naturally increases year over year. There isn't a year that it's been down. So Airbnb coming out and some other data platforms that shall not be named coming out and saying ADR is up and the industry is doing well. It's kind of a little bit of propaganda to promote this idea of well-being across the industry. Okay. Now, I don't want to come off pessimistic, but I also want to inform you in the right ways to know what to truly understand and the right questions to ask when you're looking at data and research like this. So ADR is up, and to say the least, demand is also up too, meaning more people are using Airbnb or VRBOs. The total revenue year over year is increased. But when we start breaking down averages and amount per property and so on, that's where the true numbers appear, meaning that, or the true well-being appears, meaning there are dips, there's less because of the amount of supply entered into the market. Not a lot of people are talking about that. Not a lot of people are talking about how many properties went into the market and started year over year. Everyone's talking about revenue year over year, and that always grows too, right? So going back to the grocery store analogy, their revenue theoretically should grow year over year due to inflation. That doesn't mean they're more profitable year over year. That doesn't mean they're making money hand over fist and this and that. That's not at all what that means. It means that because prices naturally go up every single year, they will make more money. Like physically, numbers will go up every single year. So understanding that helps us get a better context of what's truly going on in the market. And there's a dip going on, right? Year over year. Some people are saying, well, you know, the ones who understand this and what I'm talking about, some people are saying, well, you know, it's a dip because there's less travel. That's actually not true. I looked it up and travel in the United States has actually increased, even international travel. Year over year, we're seeing about a 10 to 15%. Let's see, 66 to 77 million. So yeah, that's about 15% increase in international travel to the United States year over year. We're also seeing more and more people in domestically travel in the United States as well. Even though things are more expensive, people are still traveling and they're traveling more and more. So demand is continuing to increase, but it's the supply that we have to worry about. And so when it comes to understanding the future trends of the STR industry, we're really trying to understand what the supply shock is going to be to a particular market, okay? For example, when I'm looking in certain markets like Blue Ridge, Gatlinburg, or Sevierville, mainly Sevierville, I even love the Smokies in there in general, Orlando, Broken Bow, Big Bear, Lake Tahoe, Scottsdale, any of these places where they can go out and build or enter in, there's very limited barrier of entry to get a large number of short-term rentals I can enter into the market. These types of areas are getting hit the hardest, okay? And when you look at the average in terms of performance year over year, some of these areas are down 20 up to even 30% year over year. A lot of people are actually hurting in our industry, okay? So although I'm coming off like not like it sounds kind of scary that the industry overall, if we're looking at averages, not for Airbnb as a company, but just for revenue between hosts and investors, it's down. Okay. And the reason why is because the amount of supply surpasses the amount of demand increase that we're actually seeing. So the supply is increasing at about a rate of 20%, whereas demand is only increasing at a rate of about 8 to 10%. The average is 9 right now, year over year, 9% demand increase on Airbnb. So the reality is like supply is shooting way up and demand is going up, but not at the same rate. Therefore, we are seeing a pullback in the particular market. Now, some people are like, well, it's going to pull back to normal, like normalcy in our markets. And that's not really true either, because what is normal, right? Was it pre-COVID? But pre-COVID, we didn't have that much supply, right? We also didn't have that same amount of demand either that we currently have today, because demand is going up. So there really isn't a pullback to normalcy. It's just the basic economics of supply and demand and where you're currently at. So it's not going to go and hit some sort of rock bottom or even a floor. I mean, it could go below the floor if you just keep injecting more and more and more supply into the particular market. I was having a really interesting conversation with a good friend of mine, John Hodge, about investing in Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is a lake market, has a national park there, a casino, and I call it the Redneck Riviera. It's a good market, but we were talking about building individual units on the lake, like having a little community, and of like one or two bedroom, like tiny home community with cool amenities and stuff like that. And what was really interesting is he was like, yeah, like, you know, you could do that. And I was talking about economies to scale, meaning like for every single unit you add, it, you know, theoretically, like unit, they, we typically would say, well, oh, they're all going to gross like 40 or 50 or 60K. We'll say 50K. So each, if I add 10 properties or 10 units, they're all going to each gross 50K. But he's like, that's not really how it works. And I thought that was interesting because I was like, well, what do you mean by that? And he goes, if you entered in, we'll call it 15, because we're talking about this like 15 unit, you know, community, you put in 15 individual units into this particular market, it would actually shock the market with too much supply. He's like, if you put in 4 or 5, that's a lot less shock and a lot less, you're like now not competing against yourself. Because remember, demand, although it is increasing in the majority of markets out there, it's not increasing at a rate of 15 new units in this particular market. Now, other markets, it's different. Maybe it's, you know, 30 or 50 that have that impact. But the reality is you actually hurt yourself in not every unit and will generate $50,000. And the average on whole will end up being less than what was originally projected because you shocked the market with too much supply. Okay. Now, most of us aren't buying multiple units, okay, or creating tiny home communities. We're buying a property in one market. But we need to think about these things as we're looking towards the future, as we're investing in markets where they're building and can build more of these units. I see a lot of people investing in markets where, you know, Branson, Missouri is a really good example. I see people all the time, they're buying these custom like A-frames or really cool cabins that are either on the lake or have views or whatever. But every single year, I see an increase, another like communities being built and it's cooler and it's better. And it's like the wow, you know? And I'm like, oh, wow, that looks really nice. That looks really cool and unique. No one's going to be able to top that. And then somehow they do it again in the next year and then the next year. And what are we seeing in Branson? We're seeing average revenue numbers dip. Okay. And they're, and those unique properties are being impacted just as much as well. Okay. Now, some of them are going to be impacted a little bit later. Right now, they're the new shiny object, the hottest thing out there, but it's not a long-term play. And it's the same thing in these other markets like Broken Bow and Orlando and Blue Ridge and Gatlinburg, where there is no limitation on space, where they can just continue to build resorts or continue to build short-term rentals and add the next nicest thing. And it's like, cool, the house today that is built today is the best thing there. But to next year, it's already second best. And then the next year after that, it's third best. And what's going to happen? Revenue is going to start to fall. That's why if you're looking to buy today, you need to be looking for that moat, that thing that separates you from everybody else. Okay. So if you're going into these markets and you're just buying something that can be replicated and will be replicated again in the future, that's a problem. Okay. Do not buy that way. Your mind has to think differently. Markets shift over time. Our strategies on how we find and what we look for and the things that do well in the markets will change. And so we have to adapt. And we have to be looking for and thinking with longevity rather than in the next 12 months. The next 12 months, this property is going to do, you know, 150,000. Well, what's it going to do at the 12 months after that? Because are you going to sell after 1 year? Probably not, right? So thinking with longevity is the goal. And when I see a lot of properties, especially in these big popular markets, they don't appear to me as something that's going to have that longevity. They seem like they're at their peak. And that's as far as they can go. So in the future, things are going to get more competitive. Really, what's going on, the trend that we're seeing now is the industry is professionalizing. Gone are the days of set it and forget it. And today is the day that we have to be professional hosts. We have to operate at a high level. We have to provide a high quality product. I mean, even furnishing with Wayfair product, just Wayfair, is borderline just average at this point. The one thing that I want to mention too, and I talk about this, I've been talking about this for probably about 2 years now. I've seen it, started seeing it in the data, and it's just getting worse. There is something called a wealth divide in the STR industry, meaning that when you look at particular markets and you look at the average and you compare it to top performers, or we'll call them the rich, right? The rich versus the middle versus the poor, the middle class. Okay, middle. I'm not going to break this into an oligarchy of different classes and everything, social classes. It's nothing to do with that, but percentiles just based on performance. So average properties, okay, and their performance versus properties that perform at the highest tier or the 90th percentile is what we would say, right? When we compare the two and their performances year over year, we typically find even in the most popular vacation rental markets, the 90th percentile, unlike the average, is actually either the same or better off in terms of revenue performance year over year. Now, the 90th percentile performance could be because they are truly unique or they have the biggest and baddest property or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But what's interesting in the data is they are performing better year over year, meaning they're having an increase in revenue year over year, whereas the average is not. They're seeing a dip. So what's going on is there's actually a divide and it's widening between the professional hosts. And here's the thing, when I say professional host, there's a lot of different definitions that includes. It means things like you know, having the right furnishings, having the right, the moat. That's really what it is. It's the moat, right? And we know the moat category. I talked about this on other podcasts, but there's location, quality, design, decor, and amenities. So the professional hosts with the moats are performing better or at the same level, depending on the competition in the market, compared to the average performers who are performing less. So what does that mean for the future? That means we're going to see a lot of people starting to exit than getting into the market. And that's exactly what's going on. If you go to the Federal Reserve's database, okay, the housing market database, and you look at the housing inventory or the houses for sale and how many there are, you will actually see a significant jump and increase year over year, or even, you know, the last few years compared to what we've seen before. So meaning like the number of properties like for sale in the Smokies, for example, is literally almost 2x of what it was last year. So what does that mean? There's a sell-off going on, okay? Oh, well, does that mean there's good opportunities to buy? Actually, no, because housing prices are still really inflated. Now, there could be some blood in the water, you know, in terms of like deals and people being a little more desperate and willing to drop the prices down. And it doesn't mean don't look in these markets, because most markets are having a sell-off, except a few. And maybe we can do a whole episode on that. I think that would be actually fun. But the reality is that there is a sell-off going on and there's more people exiting the market. And in the future, we're going to continue to see that because a lot of people bought because they thought this was real estate and not a hospitality business. And that's the difference, okay? So the people who are in the 90th percentile are treating this as a hospitality business and not as a real estate investment. And the ones who are getting out because they can't handle, number one, they can't handle the competition, or number two, they don't have the bandwidth to take the time to compete, to take the time to either improve their property, to do the marketing they need to do, to deal with the pricing, the revenue management, or the listing optimization, or all the other things you have to worry about. So as an operator, you're at a point now, and you're going to have to get better at this, at operating, right? In hospitality and treating this as a business or hiring it out. Maybe you go with a co-host who knows what they're doing, or maybe you just train people or have awesome VAs and break these things down. You got to get smart. You got to get creative. And it is really, really turning into an established business in our industry. I think that's actually positive for the industry. It's a good healthy sign, meaning that this is a maturing business or maturing industry. And it's something that will eventually, as banks and more established investors start to recognize and realize, there'll be a lot more funding opportunities. There'll be more of a commercial investment rather than just a residential buy and a residential play. But the reality is morphing into that. And there's going to be some growing pains for a lot of people who aren't treating it like that. So the mindset is shifting. Okay. So really what I'm seeing, just kind of wrap everything up here. Really what I'm seeing in this industry and future trends is a maturing growth of professional hosts. Okay. So competition is going to continue to increase. I can tell you that from a buying standpoint, also from an operating standpoint. The number of investors looking for deals is still really high. The number of people who are operating is just getting higher and higher every single year. There's over like 4 million properties in the United States, or sorry, not that's not United States, that's like the world, 4 million Airbnbs. There's like 1.8 now, I think, in the United States, active short-term rentals. So a lot of this is really like, it's just going to continue to grow, but you're seeing more and more people who don't know what they're doing and people who are probably losing money get out. And these people who do are going to come in, take those properties over, either make them better and compete with you, or they're going to hurt and lose. And that's probably not the best ideal short-term rental property. So the reality and where we're currently at is a maturing point of let's treat this like a real business. And that's how you should approach it today. So whether with your marketing, with your skills, what you're trying to do, think about it like that, approach it like that, and you will be fine. You will do well. You are doing what the 50 percentile is not doing, which is listening to this podcast, by the way. So share it with people who are in the 50th percentile who need to improve, maybe not in your market, because I give some pretty good secrets away, right? Huh? So anyway. So yeah, that is a wrap up on this episode. For the part two of this episode, I actually brought somebody in who isn't focused on data, but more of like being involved. She runs a co-hosting business in operations. And so she's got lots of students and teaches a lot of people how to do it as well. And so she's very plugged into the market. So we're going to get her interpretation of what she's currently seeing. What I want you to pay attention to is how does what she says tie into the data that I mentioned in this episode? So I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. And if you haven't hit that subscribe or follow, whatever button is in Spotify or iTunes where you just follow this and you get notifications whenever new episodes are uploaded, you need to hit it, okay? Because it's about time. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode and I will see you on the next episode of Cashflow Positive.